how many gay historical figures do you know? Probably not that many. Most of them live their lives in secrecy, and history books tend to ignore any rainbow flags that someone might present.
But they existed. They were people just like us, writers and innovators and artists and leaders, and they don't deserve to hide any longer. We're your hosts, Mary Rogers
and Aili Yamamoto, and join us as we uncover the ghosts in the closet.
Historians say that they were very close friends.
Gal pals.
False.
Best friends.
Independent.
Companions.
Rebellious.
Roommates.
Weren't they just queer? You're listening to Ghosts in the Closet with Mary Rogers and Aili Yamamoto. Hi everyone, I'm Aili.
And I'm Mary.
And welcome to the first ever episode of Ghosts in the Closet. So let's not sugarcoat it. Queerness is constantly erased in history. You know, there were too many queer figures who have made tremendous, huge impacts whose queerness has been forgotten or misrepresented.
And we want to shed light on these figures from a modern queer perspective and maybe even learn a little something along the way.
Today's episode features two swashbuckling, pillaging women from the golden age of piracy.
But before we get into that, let's start off with some recent queer news in the world today.
The Dutch Prime Minister announced last week that royals are allowed to marry same-sex partners without giving up their claim to the throne, bringing homophobes horrific fear that gay people will take over the world and oppress straight people just one step closer to finally happening.
In other news, a new Superman comic book will feature a bisexual hero. The story follows the son of Superman, who will pursue a relationship with another man. Some fans have expressed their outrage at Superman becoming too political, because the comics of him fighting in Vietnam in the 60s were just for fun.
Finally, last week was National Coming Out Day, where the world celebrated newly out celebrities like NFL player Carl Nassib, former bachelor Colton Underwood, and the light of our life and the reason we get up every morning, JoJo Siwa.
And on the topic of our Lord and Savior herself, JoJo Siwa earlier this year also became a member of the first same-gender pair on Dancing with the Stars. Rock on, JoJo. Rock on.
Now that's it for yesterday's history, and it's time to look a little further back in time. So Mary, how do you feel about pirates?
This is a tough question. Do I endorse like going around and invading people's small businesses and stealing all of their stuff?
Yes.
No. But like, do I endorse women in colonial times, like invading colonial ships and being strong, independent women? I don't know.
I think that's a really fair viewpoint to take. Like, it kind of sucked.
Doggy dot world, like, you gotta do what you gotta do to survive.
If you're in the 1700s, like, you're either dying of an illness or sailing out to the seas, I would say.
I would say
or,
so
like,
as well.
Or, like, really oppressing people.
Exactly.
There's not really an in-between.
Like, at least oppress the oppressors.
Yeah, so true. And that's a little bit about what we're talking about today, actually. This is a story from the 1700s, which was right towards the end of what many people would call the golden age of piracy. So the seas were filled with pirates during this era. You might recognize big names like Blackbeard, Henry Morgan, and these people have been immortalized, I would say, in popular media and rum.
Dude, pirates love being on the cover of alcohol packaging for no reason.
What is there other than Henry Morgan? Like, people love using pirates on stuff.
So true. Not women pirates, though.
Yeah, not women pirates.
Personally have not heard of any. Interesting.
But our subjects today are Anne Bonny and Mary Read, who were pirates towards the end of this golden age of piracy, and they are often regarded as the most famous female pirates of all time, which I think is notable on its own, but also, they might have been lovers.
Might have been.
Might have been.
We'll
it's always a
that.
Might have been.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we might have been lovers.
Only we'll know.
Like, if we were in like the 1700s, they would have been like, these two podcast hosts.
Well, we can fantasize about that later.
Yeah.
So one important thing to note is that pirate stories happened so long ago, and life on the seas wasn't always properly recorded. So most of the information we have on these two, for example, comes from a book from 1724 called A General History of Pirates. So though much of it is thought to be true, there is speculation that the author embellished certain stories, and we all know that we have a very romanticized view of pirates that is pretty far from the truth. But I think hearing their story and the stories that have come from their story makes it pretty worthwhile.
All right, so let's get into it. Anne Bonny was born in Ireland around 1690 to William Cormac and his maid, Mary Brennan, causing his wife to leave him and cut off his allowance, which I would say is the first of many girl boss moments in this story.
I would agree.
Good for her. But William was actually pretty fond of Anne, and to avoid a scandal, he dressed Anne up as a boy and said that she was a child of a relative in his care. Dressing Anne up as a boy is actually a theme that is repeated later, as you'll see. But when her true self and parentage was revealed, William said, "No way," and he emigrated to what is now South Carolina with Anne and her mother. Anne was actually said to have flaming red hair and a, quote, "fierce and courageous temper," end quote. She reportedly stabbed a servant girl, and when a suitor tried to assault her, she beat him half to death with a chair.
Wow, the audacity. She, fought back on someone who was trying to assault her. So fierce.
I know, she's very fierce. I'm not sure how I feel about stabbing a servant girl. We don't really have the full story there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm definitely supporting the beat up a suitor trying to assault her, though.
Me as well.
But William was not happy, as we are, with his daughter's ways, and the rumors of her seducing all kinds of people around local taverns were actually very damaging to his reputation. And the final straw was when Anne married a poor sailor named James Bonny, and William disowned his daughter. That was the last straw. Wow. He didn't care about the sleeping around.
Or stabbing a maid, but you married a poor man? No.
Yeah, he did not care about the stabbing a maid. So Anne and James moved to what is now the Bahamas, where the real adventure would begin. James began a career as a snitch, meaning he turned in pirates to the governor and collected their bounties, which Anne was not happy about.
Loving how they don't really sugarcoat the name, the job description is in the title. I'm not a lookout, I'm a snitch.
Yeah, he's not an informant to the governor, he is straight up a snitch.
No, they called him what he is.
And Anne was not happy about it because she actually spent most of her time drinking and seducing pirates. Which,
love that for her.
That's so funny to me. And it was during this time that she met a pirate named John Rackham, or Calico Jack, and they became lovers, and she left James to join his crew, launching her career as a pirate.
Feeling good about this. She does not need her daddy's money.
Exactly, and she does not need her poor snitch husband either. So female pirates were not common at this time, obviously. It's the 1700s, but this did not deter Anne. Legend has it that when a shipmate complained about a woman on the ship, she stabbed him in the chest.
Okay.
Right? She's used to stabbing people by now.
This is
true. Servant girl number one.
It's just another Tuesday for her.
So here's where it gets fun. Most of the time, Anne lived as a woman, as Jack's lover, because he was the captain. But during encounters with other ships, when they were pillaging, typical pirate stuff, Anne dressed up as a man.
Okay.
She wore the clothes of a man, she had a cap, and had weapons like any male pirate. And it was during her time as a full-fledged pirate, dressing up as a man. But most people in the crew knew she was a woman, is what I'm gathering. Because she was clearly the captain's lover, whatever.
Okay, so she didn't just need to do this for survival. She was just I'm gonna do this and you're not gonna have a problem with it.
She wanted to be a part of the pillaging. And
yeah, for real.
Yeah, pretty cool. I mean, respect to all the people who got their things stolen.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to not take a wow, she was so cool view because it was so long ago.
Yeah, I'd just like to hope that all of the people she was stealing from were problematic in some way.
Yeah,
just horrible white men doing some bad stuff.
Yeah, but hopefully she wasn't the white man doing the bad stuff.
True.
Anyway, it was during her time as a full-fledged pirate that Anne met someone else that she became interested in, a crewmate by the name of Mark Reed.
Mm.
What Anne didn't know at the time was that Mark Reed was actually Mary Reed.
Bum, bum, bum.
I know. And that's, where it gets a little juicier.
So that takes us to Mary Reed's background, also known as Mark Reed on the ship. So she was born in England in 1685, and dressing as a man was actually a constant in her life. She was an illegitimate child as well, and her mother had a legitimate son with her husband, but both the son and the husband died. So to secure her late son's inheritance from her husband's family, Mary's mother dressed Mary up as a boy and pretended that she was her son. Even after the husband's family found out and stopped giving them money, Mary's mother continued to dress her up as a boy.
The things people will do for money.
True.
She, that is so messed up. her son died, and she just made her daughter dress up.
No, but, like, they really had to get creative back then.
Yeah, oh my god.
Don't really support the lack of honesty, but at the same time, if women didn't have a man to provide for them, they had nothing.
Like, her husband died, and she just had to, and her son died. Like, what are you supposed to do? If that's what they had to do to survive, yeah, like, I'm dressing my son up with a cap and a little, you know,
yeah, like, I can't lederhosen. Lederhosen. Sorry. Yeah, I bet that's exactly what they wore. In England. So Mary continued dressing like a man and became a soldier for the British military, but she began living as a woman again when she revealed her identity and married a fellow soldier. He died quickly after their marriage, however, and she went back to dressing like a man and being a soldier.
This is interesting to me. Was she just so used to living as a boy and realizing, because I know there was parts of like, her mom dressed her up as a boy even after the husband's family found out, because she was like making her work and like she could get jobs easier as a child. But she really like took to it.
No, truly.
Becoming a soldier and then going back to being a soldier after she was married and living as a woman, like she must have enjoyed living as a man.
Yeah, like I think she got not the luxury, but the opportunity to actually experience the other side. Like, a lot of women, they didn't really have that chance to be like, oh, I don't have to wear a corset all the time, or oh, I can express myself in this other way and not be a helpless woman depending on men. Now she's seen the other side, she's like, why wouldn't I do this? What's
it's so me? Hard, because, like, because being a woman was so terrible back then in a lot of ways, I think a lot of women would have jumped at the chance to be men, but at the same time, it's like, people had no idea what being transgender meant. Like, is that what we're seeing? Are we seeing a piece of trans history as well? But, like,
absolutely,
it's hard to tell where that line is, and it'll be impossible to tell, especially back in the 1700s. Like,
did she
want to be free, or was she really like, I like being a man more than I like being a woman?
Yeah, like, what we do know is that she got that rare opportunity to, you know, experience her identity and explore it. And it's so cool that she took that step even further and kept dabbling with that.
She's, like, definitely inspiring.
Absolutely. You know, she had absolutely nobody else ever that she'd met that was doing what she was doing, I would assume.
Like, she just, yeah, it's kind of cool. Also, a little less problematic than Anne, I would say. No stabbing of servant girls.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm kind of a Mary Read fan.
Team Mary.
So there are a couple things that we have very little doubt on. Like, all the sources say the same thing about this, you know, like, there's not much. This is something that we're pretty positive about. So one, Anne Bonny tried to seduce Mark Read, who then revealed to her that he was actually a woman, Mary Read.
Mm-hmm.
So there was like a reveal situation happening. And two, Anne Bonny and Mary Read were very close. They trusted each other, they fought together, and they were tried together. They were the two most famous female pirates of their time. In all the testimonies, they say that they were together always, you know, pillaging ships. Like, they trusted each other very much, is what we can gather. The timeline after this gets a bit fuzzy. So Anne and Mark were constantly together on the ship, which made Anne's lover, Calico Jack, the captain, jealous enough that he threatened to slit Mark's throat.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's jealousy for real. I mean, we've all been there.
True.
No, we have not. Here's where the story really splits. One version of the story has Anne pursuing Mark, or Mary, I guess, who is kind of afraid of Jack, kind of afraid about his jealousy, and so she has this dramatic moment where she opens her shirt and proves to Anne that she is, in fact, a woman. Shows her what's under there. They keep hanging out enough to enrage Jack, who bursts into Mary's quarters one day to kill her. She reveals that she's a woman to him. He's fine. He backs off. So that's one version of the story. In another, arguably funnier and better and cooler version of the story, Jack bursts into the room to find Mary and Anne in bed, with Mary half-clothed and clearly a woman. So he walks in. He's like, oh, that's a woman. Mark is Mary.
Yeah.
There are two historical interpretations of this. Some historians interpret this as, you know, the automatic assumption, which would confirm their relationship, you know, they were in bed together. Most historians, however, actually interpret this as Jack walking into the room the moment that Mary is revealing herself as a woman to Anne. And that's why she's half
Oh no, I'd definitely say that's the right account.
I just think, like, I can imagine Calico Jack's, like, walking in. They're, like, in bed together. They realize they've been caught. And Anne is like, oh, my God.
Oh my goodness. She's a woman. Some crazy information that I'm learning just right now, just moment that you walked in. Wow.
I can't believe that she, like, just opened her shirt the second you walked in.
Yeah, like, so crazy.
That we're both women.
Like, are you surprised? Like, I'm surprised.
Like, that is so funny. And I think it's funny that Like, again, we don't even know if this is true. Like, this might have not happened. But it's funny that we have this account that has been, whatever, passed down through books and, like, history or whatever. And historians have chosen to make that assumption, even if it's fake.
No, yeah, like, people will really go to any length to explain homosexuality, even when it's caught red-handed.
And I find it hard to believe that they weren't fluid.
I would say so as well. Like, if they were able to get to a point where they were able to overstep, like, societal boundaries as far as expectations of them, why would they not also explore their sexualities? Also, like, imagine you meet the only other female pirate, ever, and you're not gonna drop trout right then and there. It's kind of a no-brainer to me.
It's, yeah. I don't know. I think I want to believe that they were together, and
I find it so hard to believe that they weren't. Like, Jack was so jealous to the point where he threatened to slit Mark's throat.
Like,
Are you kidding?
He thought that when, like, if Mark was a man, actually, there would be no historical discrepancies. It'd be, yeah, Anne Bonny was on this pirate ship. She had a relationship with a man
absolutely
named Mark Lee.
Yeah, nobody would question it for a second. In fact, it would probably be written not as speculation.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just, the whole story is so funny. Like, her, I also find it hard to believe that if they were really close, that's a fact, that Mary didn't tell Anne sooner. Like, it's hard for me to believe that they were so close that it made Jack jealous, and then suddenly he walks in on the moment she's revealing herself.
Right?
Like, no, they knew.
The coinkydink.
That's probably why they were so close. Like, they were women together.
Well, and also, like,
girl talking.
Everybody already knew that Anne was a woman.
Yeah.
So we already know, like, Mary's a little fruity.
So they were very close, and at the very least, like, just besties. They were gal pals, bestie vibes.
For sure.
So in 1720, the crew was captured by a man named Captain Barnett, who was working for the government. In the heat of the final battle, their crew gave up and deserted the two women, who refused to surrender and fought on their own until capture.
Wow, they really said, like, I'm going to die with you here and now.
Romantic! It's also, like, them being female pirates is enough. Like, that alone
honestly
puts them on such a historical, like, that's amazing, it puts them on the pedestal.
Yeah, like, they were such a disadvantage, and they were so successful.
They were also the toughest. Like, they kept fighting when they got caught. Like, they were ready to go down. Like,
yeah.
And get this. So the crew kind of gave up and surrendered. Meanwhile, Anne and Mary are, like, still fighting. And they asked for help from the crew, and they didn't get any. And Mary started shooting at their own crew. God, what a movie moment.
Honestly.
So the entire crew was taken to Jamaica, where Calico Jack and the others were hanged for their crimes as pirates. This is where being a woman came in handy. Anne and Mary, because of their status as women, had a different experience at trial. So although a lot of witnesses testified against them, claiming that they were, quote, very active on board, end quote, they got lucky and were let free because they were both pregnant. This is, we do not know if it's true. But
I mean, yeah, if I'm about to be killed, like, I'm pregnant, guys!
Yeah, the moment in the Hunger Games where Peeta's like, if it weren't for the baby.
Oh my God.
Like, that was them at the trial. They're like, oh, if it weren't for the baby. Oh.
Yeah.
But also very possible that they were pregnant,
yeah,
I think.
For sure.
So they got lucky. It's said that Mary Read died less than a year later due to illness, which does check out if she was pregnant. She might have died in childbirth.
For sure.
And that Anne Bonny's fate actually remains unknown.
Interesting.
But one thing that I find just so, like, it's probably rude to say it's hilarious, but Anne had famous last words to Calico Jack, and they go a little like this.
Okay.
If you had fought like a man, you need not have been hanged like a dog.
Interesting.
So she was saying, like, be tougher. So to the end, she was just ruthless.
Yeah, like an
holy crap, like, he was about
badass
to die. And that's what we know of these two possibly queer female pirates. I'd say they lived incredible lives.
I would, like, say so as well.
Incredible.
Inspiring, even. Like, maybe I'll dabble in piracy myself. So we know what you're thinking. This is a queer history podcast, so why are we talking about people who might not even be queer? And that's a good point. The information we have about pirates, specifically Anne Bonny and Mary Read, is minimal at best, and lots of pirate accounts are said to be romanticized and exaggerated. But even in this story, there were multiple different accounts of one event that we found out from various sources, which was, of course, the whole reveal of, of their womanhood and the relationship that they had.
So already, you know, we're struggling with finding anything that I wouldn't confidently say that anything we've talked about here is complete fact. Like, a lot of it is for sure, like, actually happened, or, like, very much actually happened, but, like, it's all from, you know, one guy's book.
Yeah, but I mean, of course, we're reaching very, very far into the past. Not everything is going to be crystal clear. But this can be said for all pirates that we hear about. And we still consistently hear about these pirates. We see them on our rum bottles. I'd love to hear more about women like this.
Absolutely.
But still, with that lack of sources, some might ask, why talk about it? And we've thought about this, and though we don't want to diminish the meaning of true history, we do think that in some cases, the truth is less important than the cultural impact of the story.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for example, popular adaptations of Anne Bonny and Mary Read, like in the Starz drama Black Sails, where they're depicted as strong, capable pirate women in an epic love story. Just last year, an 8-foot-tall memorial statue was actually erected of the two at the Execution Dock, a historical pirate port in London. You should actually look up pictures of the statue online. It's really interesting. It's not like a standard statue. I'd say it's sort of impressionist art.
Yeah, it's very
kind of cool.
You have to interpret it in your own way.
Yeah, for sure. So take a look. But yeah, so the statue, which depicted Anne and Mary as inspiring pirate lovers, was meant to be relocated to Devon, but town councillors actually voted against the idea and ended the statue's short life by taking it down.
I think the part that really sticks with me is the 8-foot tall. When I read the fact that there was a statue, they were just like human size, but these are like 8-foot tall Anne Bonny, Mary Read.
True, like they they reflected power.
Yeah, it's a shame that the town councilors voted against it, but I think automatically we might be like, okay, is that homophobia?
Right? But I just can't imagine why. Why would they do
their
that?
Their argument was that they didn't want to encourage piracy. Because the thing was, they like... did do kind of horrible things. So their argument was like, we want a statue of like a fisherman or something, someone who actually helped the community rather than like pillage us. Which I think if you're a little less like romantic, a little less fantastical and whimsical, that makes total sense.
Yeah, you can take what you want from the idea of a pirate. Of course, they did some bad things, but there are also some positive things to take away from this. You know, I think if you can let your kid dress up as a pirate for a costume party, then you can allow this important statue to stay
and
up.
And I'm sure that it's the fact that it was a statue of 8-foot tall lesbians, or sorry, not lesbians, they were probably just like queer and fluid, but you know, queer women probably also just did not sit well.
Yeah. Funny how they love to give reasons to keep up the statues of Confederate soldiers.
Yeah, but you guys can't put Anne Bonny and Mary Read up.
No,
come on.
Too far, I would say. So we like to talk about recognizing the lives and legacies of the historical figures that we discuss. In this case, it might even be arguable that their legacy isn't enormous. You know, they were pirates. You know, but if anything, I think Anne Bonny and Mary Read are a testament to the fact that we have always existed. You know, we exist now in the 21st century almost everywhere, but we did back then too. I think it's a pretty cool reminder.
Yeah.
You know, you don't hear these stories very often, but these people were there. You just need to look.
Like, I get so excited about historical queer people.
Absolutely.
It is something very comforting about it, that we've always been around. I think people who are, you know, against us and hate us for no reason, they like to make queer people feel alone.
For sure.
But when you think about the history and how many, you know, there were queer people now in 2021 making podcasts, and there were queer people in the 1700s pillaging ships.
Absolutely.
There were queer people in the military, you know, there were queer people just doing everything. And
yeah, and, you know, at least for me personally, and I think this is something a lot of queer women now have heard, maybe more so than men, but some people like to say, oh, you know, everybody's gay now. It's becoming popular, you know. People see other gay people and they're suddenly like, oh, I'm gay now too. But these people had no one around them like this. Like, they found themselves on their own, which is just, I don't know, so validating.
And terrifying, too. Like, they had to do that alone.
Yeah.
But luckily, I think Anne and Mary were two women who weren't bogged down by, you know, norms, I would say.
I would say so
they
as well.
They were very against them, I think.
I think they recognized, just based on the struggles they grew up with, that they did need to advocate for themselves, put themselves first in order to get forward. And that's what they did. They became pirates. They stole from people, but they also just, yeah, they put their expression first.
Yes.
And bottom line, we were always here. We were homemakers and soldiers and leaders. And most importantly, we were pirates.
Pirates.
And even if they weren't, the story of Anne, Bonny, and Mary Read was all about disrupting norms and pushing the boundaries of what women could do in their time.
Like, they're so inspiring, that alone. And I think one of the major reason we want to do this podcast is because historians have a tendency to erase homosexuality and queerness, and we don't want that to stop us from exploring potentially queer stories.
Absolutely.
If we only did stories that were confirmed queer, we'd only have a number of interesting stories to tell, you know?
Well, yeah, it would be impossible. Like, so much work has been done to erase queerness in history. You have to do that digging. You have to find places for inference sometimes, because
exactly.
In some cases that's all we've been
left
with.
Yeah, he lived with his, you know, there's always a story of, like, he lived with his male friend for his entire life.
Yeah,
they had
they
a home together.
Besties.
Like, I wonder. It's just, yeah. So what we're trying to say is we don't want anything to stop us from exploring potentially queer stories. And you know what? We'll probably never know the truth of Anne Bonny and Mary Read's relationship. That's too far gone in the past. And that means that we get to decide it for ourselves. So final consensus. Were they queer? Were they pirate lovers? Or were they pirate besties?
I certainly think they were pirate lovers. That is my rating.
I also think they were pirate lovers. I think they have demonstrated enough that they do not care about norms. Like, what would stop them from, you know?
Those same boundaries wouldn't have been there to stop
exactly.
them from exploring.
So I say pirate lovers.
Yes, well, you heard it here from us, the resident historical gaydar experts.
They were pirate lovers, everyone. All right, so to finish up our episode today, we're going to do a lightning round of queer trivia. Mary is going to ask me a couple true or false questions, and I am going to attempt to answer them correctly.
That is right. I've got some interesting facts in here. I did my absolute best to come up with some good false facts. we'll see how you do.
Okay.
I'm kind of excited. Some of these are pretty
juicy.
Yeah,
I'm a little nervous for sure.
Okay, let's get to it. True or false? Women weren't allowed to wear trousers in the U.S. Senate floor until 1993.
False.
It is absolutely true.
What? 93?
Yeah, so to give some backstory, some women just actively disregarded that rule and were like, this is dumb.
Good.
But it stayed in writing as a technical official rule until
1993. Insane. Oh my god.
All right, next up. William Shakespeare coined the term drag in reference to the action of men wearing women's clothes.
True.
Yeah, it's absolutely
okay,
true.
Okay, good.
You're the only one who didn't know this.
Yeah, I mean, he invented so many words. Some queer theories about him as well, but we'll have to get into that later.
Yeah, apparently he has this one play with, like, sapphic undertones, but apparently the plot is an absolute disaster.
Interesting.
So.
We'll have to talk about him in another
Indeed.
Episode.
Indeed. All right. The first television series to portray an openly gay couple on a major television network was 2009 show Glee.
False. There's, like, Will and Grace and stuff.
But... yeah, absolutely false.
I knew you would add a Glee factor.
Yeah,
there.
No, as shocking as it may be, Glee did not invent gay representation.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Glee
I
didn't
astonished.
Invent gay people either.
All right, moving on.
Sorry, that's funny.
In early 17th century London, there is a gay brothel on the site where Buckingham Palace is today.
Oh my god, I want so badly for it to be true. In what era of London, did they say?
17th century London, so the 1600s.
False.
It is true.
Yes!
Yeah, so happy about this fact, personally.
That is hilarious. To Queen Elizabeth. I just want to say that to her face.
True or false? Gay men in the early 1900s of London made up an entire slang language so they could communicate in public without being arrested.
True.
Yeah, it's
that
absolutely true.
That feels like a very, like... queer gay history thing, I think.
Yeah, so the language was called Polari, and some words actually survived into some of today's slang. For example, I don't know this word, but naff, which means lacking in style, and apparently that's still used in England, so.
Yeah, I personally use it.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you look in the mirror and you're like
oh,
naff. Okay, you're gonna like this one.
Okay.
True or false? Carmilla, a story of a lesbian vampire that preyed on young women, was originally written 25 years before Dracula.
Yes, because I know I've actually read about this.
Ah.
Dracula, like, was kind of based on it, right?
Yeah, so it is true. It was actually published in 1872, whereas Dracula was in 1897.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Women. Wait, who wrote Carmilla? Was it a man or a woman?
It was a man. Joseph Sheridan Le Fanu,
okay,
I believe.
Good for
her. Yeah. True or false? Canada was the first country out of 29 countries to legalize gay marriage.
No, because the first country was Denmark?
Shut up! actually, you're wrong, though.
Wait, Norway?
No.
It was the Dutch.
You're very, very close. Yeah, the first country to legalize gay marriage was the Netherlands.
Oh!
So close.
I was
in
so
2000.
Close. I knew it was one of them Scandinavian countries in
yeah,
socialism.
They got it going.
What? Wasn't Canada, like, 2005?
It was. Good knowledge there.
I grew up in the States, so I was always... just waiting for that to happen. 2015. Yeah. Oh, God. I love marriage equality. Mm-hmm. I could just go off on it. Anyway,
so, that's so stupid. Can you guess what number in line Canada was?
Well, the Netherlands was 2001. 2000. Right? 2000?
Yeah.
Was Canada fifth?
Fourth.
Fourth. Close. Okay.
Yeah, so after the Netherlands was Belgium and then Spain.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. True or false? The first openly gay kids doll was released in 1977 and packaged in a box that was designed to look like a closet.
Like, if you made that up, that's so funny. There's no way they were releasing gay dolls.
So your answer is false? False. It's true.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, what did the doll like look like?
The doll's name was Gay Bob. He was packaged in a closet-shaped box.
Was it like for gay men? Like, was it... So it was not marketed for kids. Right?
It was for kids. And the advertising was like the doll for everybody, which like who is their target? Like I don't really understand. But he had one pierced ear.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah, bleach blonde hair. I think cowboy boots. Like they did not know how to dress him.
And he was in the closet. I wonder if they were like kids. They're like these parents like, "Okay, honey, like what do you want for Christmas this year?"
Gay Bob.
That's so funny. Let's bring Gay Bob back.
For real.
Gay Bob and lesbian Martha. It's like a Barbie. Yeah. She wears flannel.
Moving on, this is our last question.
Okay.
True or false? The film Back to the Future, released in 1985, had a deleted scene where Marty McFly tells Doc that he's worried hitting on his younger mother could make him gay.
Like, that feels very on brand for a very, like, not politically correct movie.
It is true.
Of course. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, we can't play the recording, but look it up on YouTube. It's very easy to find the deleted scene from Back to the Future. And it doesn't even make any sense. He's like, Doc, but if I hit on my mom when she's a teenager, like what if I end up being born gay?
But I guess good for him for not.
True, yeah.
An alternative history Back to the Future situation.
Yeah, I don't know who was responsible for writing that scene, but so thankful it did not make the final cut.
Yeah, oh my God, thank God. What the hell?
So that about wraps it up. Okay, for true I feel good or about false. That.
Your false questions are hilarious.
Thank you.
Think about Gay Bob.
Oh, Gay Bob.
Yeah, I'm really glad. I hope us and all our listeners, all two of them, the true. Spirit Live
me and
person
you.
Who has to listen to it to approve it.
And my supervisor.
And your supervisor, and then your mom.
True.
And my sisters. All five of our listeners, thank you. And I hope you really enjoyed hearing about Gay Bob in this round of Lightning Queer Trivia.
Well, that's about it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed this week's story as much as we did. In our episode description, you can find the sources of all the info we shared with you today, as well as our respective social media.
And please feel free to message us if there are any stories or topics you think we should cover next. We are also looking to start featuring queer ex-university students' work on our podcast, whether it be audio, whether you want to come in for an interview and talk about a project that you're doing. We just want to feature queer ex university students, make sure that we're not forgotten in history.
Absolutely.
As Anne, Bonnie, and Mary Read were.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. To really save
them. Archive goddesses.
All right, so I'm Eileen.
And I'm Mary.
And we will see you next time when we uncover more ghosts in the closet.